Well, good evening. If you take your Bibles with me and open to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And just going to read the first four verses. I'll be short tonight. I won't tell last time I went a bit long. So I'll try and keep it short, okay? And so I've got five short points, okay? And so I will endeavour to keep it short. Proverbs chapter 3. And reading from verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Before we look at God's word, let's just pray and commit this time to Him. We thank You, dear Lord, for the night tonight. We thank You, Lord, for we can come and, Lord, we can set aside this time to sing praises to You, to, Lord, listen to Your word. And, Lord, we pray that everything that's done tonight would honour and glorify You. We thank You for the singing. We thank You, Lord, for Your word, and we thank You that Your word is a living word and it speaks to us every day. We pray in these few short moments we look at Your word that You will illuminate Your word to us. We pray that Your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts and that we'll get something to take home with us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to speak tonight for a short time on the topic of mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. And my text comes from verse 3. Now, Solomon, I believe, is the writer of this passage in Proverbs. Most of the commentators say that Solomon was probably most likely the writer. And Solomon was regarded as one of the wisest men in the Bible. When the Lord asked him what he would like, he asked for wisdom rather than riches. And God gave him both. He was a very wise king, especially in his earlier days. And he addresses this start of chapter 3 to my son. Some commentators say that this book was written to his son, and other commentators say that this book was written for young people. So my son being young people in general. And no doubt, the wisdom of the book of Proverbs is well known. There's great wisdom in this book of Proverbs. If you haven't read through the book, I'd encourage you to read through the book of Proverbs. Good advice, wise advice, and Solomon definitely said this advice, much of it for young people. He says, "My son," many, many times through the passages. And so I'd like to focus this evening on verse 3. And I've called my first point the reminder. The reminder. And it says this in verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them on the table of thine heart." Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. To start with, I wondered, you know, being a king that wrote this passage, why didn't he not write truth and justice? You know, why was it truth and mercy? Mercy and truth. And so as I went through and studied, it became very apparent why these two go hand in hand. And so Young people, it's great advice in this verse. Now, the meaning of these two words is very simple. Truth is the quality or the state of being true or right. Mercy, the definition of mercy, is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone within it is within one's power to punish or to harm them. Truth and mercy. My second point I've called the rope, and you will get it as we look at this verse. Because he says here, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let them get away. Here we find two qualities put together in a life that it is possible for people not to possess. That's why it says, don't let them forsake you. So why does he say, don't let these two qualities go? Why? Do you know, he says there, and this is why I've called this point the rope, he says, bind them about thy neck. With these two words, mercy and truth, he says, have them bound about your neck. As I was thinking about it, I wonder why he said, bind them about your neck. The only definition or the only thing I could think of was that most judgments or things that come out of our mouth to do with truth and mercy, they come past the neck, don't they, to come out of your mouth. It's the only thing I could sort of put it towards. Maybe there's some other great explanation for it. But the only thing I could think of was that it meant that you had to have them attached to you. And mercy and truth are usually spoken through the lips. Truth is something that comes out of the mouth. It's truth. Mercy, if someone casts a judgment on someone or gives them mercy, it also comes out of their mouth. He says to let these qualities. You know, if it's something's bound around your neck, it's hard to avoid it, isn't it, when you think about it? And so, let's move on. So he wants these bound about our neck. The second thing he says, and I couldn't get anything beginning with R, so I've called it the writing. That begins with R, doesn't it? Yes. and in the last part of this verse, he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. These two things need to be written in large letters on the table of our heart. This is an interesting thought that Solomon has here. It's only mentioned three other times in the Bible, the table of our heart. I believe this is the things that are close to us. These are the things that mean a lot to us in our heart. Mercy and truth. Write them on the table of your heart. You know, picture with me the inside of your heart, if you will, and picture a table there, and written on that table, Solomon says here, are to be two things definitely written on that table. He says, mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. This is something we need reminding of often. I wonder, if we were to look at the table of my heart and the table of your heart, wonder what would be written there. Maybe written on the table of someone's heart here is revenge. Instead of mercy, maybe it's revenge. Instead of truth, maybe there's written lies. Instead of honesty and truthfulness, maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's what I thought there. Maybe it's truth and justice. Maybe it's the word unforgiven. I wonder what tonight is written on the table of your heart. As I read this, I was challenged by what we can have in our innermost being that comes out, and this is what Solomon is talking about here. That's the writing. I told you it was going to be quick. Point number four is the remedy. The remedy. This, I believe, is how they all fit together. Let's have a look at a truth that everyone must decide, a truth that everyone must make a decision on. There's a truth in Romans 3:23. It says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This is a truth. And then Romans 6:23, it says this, "For the wages of sin is death." There's the truth. If there was only that truth, you and I would be sent to hell to pay the price for our own sin. Because God cannot look upon sin. God is perfect, and He cannot look upon sin. And there's a truth that all of us are in the same category. We've all sinned. But this is the wonderful thing where mercy comes in. It says this in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Isn't that amazing where those two fit together? God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to leave heaven's glory, to come to this earth, to be born as a babe, to live a sinless life, and to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. That's mercy, not giving us what we truly deserved. Through God's grace and His mercy, salvation is open to whoever will call upon the name of the Lord. The Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Titus 3:5 says this, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." God's mercy is available to whoever will call upon His name, admit their sin, believe that Jesus died and shed His blood to pay the price of their sin for them, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart. The second illustration I'd like to see here, turn over with me to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, a very well-known part of the Bible here. Genesis 37. And just to clarify the context here, we'll just read a couple of verses from verse 3. It says in this, it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." We find here Joseph was hated of his brothers. He was hated with his brothers. And if we turned over a few verses, we find that the next few verses says, "Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew up and lifted Joseph out of the pit," because they'd already thrown him into a pit. "And they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt." There's the truth for you. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Jealousy had caused his brothers to get so jealous that they wanted to get rid of him, and they sold him into slavery. You know, and if the story ended there, it would have been a very, very sad story, wouldn't it? Joseph actually was, he did the right thing, and God honored him. But, you know, we see that was not where his brothers ended. If we turn over to Genesis chapter 45, let's jump ahead in the story and have a look and see here. Genesis 45, and this is when God made the famine in the land, and his brothers had to come to Egypt, and God had blessed Joseph and made him the second in charge in Egypt. And Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. It's a long story. I'm just going to cut right to where he reveals himself in Genesis 45 and verse 3, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." You know, if you look at this story, that's a picture of mercy, isn't it? You know, Joseph could have punished his brothers for what they had done to him many, many years before. But we see here, Joseph showed them mercy. When I thought about this, I thought, how do we act when we're wronged like that? I don't think any of us will be wronged that bad. You think of the suffering that he went through, and God still blessed him, but he had some troublesome years in those years that he went through. Many times when I've been wronged, I want justice, don't we? We look for justice. We look for that person who's wronged us to suffer. But that's not what it's talking about here. This is talking about giving mercy. You know, even the writer of Proverbs here, in Proverbs 3, Solomon, he saw mercy through his father. You know, it says back in 1 Kings that Solomon said to the Lord when he was praying there, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy." You know, if you know the story of King David and his sin with Bathsheba, after God had showed mercy to David, Solomon was the next in line after that, and Bathsheba was his mother. God could have judged David for that sin. God could have taken his life, but the psalmist David pleaded to God for mercy. You know, I'd like to ask this evening as we look at this, you know, if someone wrongs us humanly, we react. The truth is in us. Even if it's truth, it's what we've had done to us. Our flesh just wants to reel up and react against it, doesn't it? But this is what Solomon says here. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you." The two, hand in hand, are what the Christian should have in mind. Do you know, if we go the other way and we get the truth and we've been wronged and we call for justice and we write them, that person on our heart as unforgiven, and we don't forgive them, the result is bitterness. We put ourselves through unnecessary pain, through not forgiving, don't we? Unless the two go hand in hand, truth and mercy. Mercy is forgiveness, to show mercy. Do you know, it's the greatest honour that we are capable of in this world to have an interest in the mercy and the truth of God. We must see our position before God. God has forgiven us. He's been merciful to us. How much more should we be merciful to each other? Do you know, like I said before, naturally, it's not naturally in us to show mercy all the time, is it? That's why in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says this, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God is able to give us the mercy we need. He's able to give us the grace we need in that time of need. The Lord wants us to come to Him in prayer and ask for the mercy we need to give. And lastly, I'd like to see the result. the result. Proverbs chapter 3 again, Proverbs chapter 3, and the next verse, verse 4, it says this, "So shall thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man." There's a reward for having truth and mercy in our hearts. You know, the result is that we'll find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. The word favour is simply to be well-liked, to be well-favoured. Wisdom is, good understanding is simply wisdom in the sight of God and man. Matthew Henry said this, he said, "A good man seeks the favour of God in the first place. He is ambitious of the honour of being accepted of the Lord. He shall find that favour, and with that favour a good understanding, and God will make the best of that person that he can." Very, very true, isn't it? True and merciful people will find the favour of others. Someone who is easy to forgive will be easier to be favoured to be friended to, than someone who never ever forgives. A person who forgives will be accepted and loved. Jesus said this in Luke 6:36. He said, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Like I said, we've got to remember our position before the Lord when we come to forgiveness, don't we? We have been forgiven. The Lord Jesus said of a lady that came to him and washed his feet, "Of whom much is forgiven, there is much loved." Matthew 5:7 said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Happy are the merciful. You know, God has been merciful to us, hasn't he? God has been gracious and merciful to us. So we should be gracious and merciful to each other. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of thine heart." You know, tonight we need to have those two words written in big letters on our hearts. Mercy and truth. And you know, that will be, if we can all do this, then others will want to see what the difference is in us, won't they? They will want to come, and it'll be making each of us to our lights to shine so much brighter for the Lord. We need to allow God's mercy and his truth to work through us. We need to be bind about our neck and written on the table of our heart. Let's pray. We thank you, dear Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truths of your word. And we thank you that your mercy and your grace is open to anyone who will receive it. Lord, you've said, "For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace to us. And Lord, we pray that you would help each and every one of us to be known, Lord, by our truth that comes out of our lips, and our mercy that we have for each other. Lord, we pray that you'll just help each of us to know that this evening. We do pray. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.